I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
When most people think of professional sports, their minds turn to large cities like New York or Los Angeles. They envision stadiums with tens of thousands of fans, sold out to capacity. The fans have paid hundreds of dollars for tickets, or maybe even more. The media is everywhere, and the teams are receiving global attention. Now, step away from those bright lights for a moment. You'll find a different kind of sports story unfolding. You're in a smaller Kentucky city, where the crowd isn't just made up of fans. It's neighbors, coworkers, families, and friends. The players aren't distant celebrities. They're familiar faces in the community. Here, the connection between a team and its city runs deeper. In places like these, professional sports aren't just entertainment. They're a gathering point. They bring people together to create shared experiences and fuel a sense of pride that stretches far beyond the scoreboard. And while these teams may not command national headlines, their impact is undeniable. They strengthen communities and quietly support local economies in very meaningful ways. This is City Stories. Alan Stein is a Lexington businessman. He is also well known as the man who brought professional baseball to Central Kentucky more than a quarter century ago. He's a lifelong fan who fell in love with the game as a child, the way many fans do.
Well, I've been a baseball fan all my life. My grandfather used to tell stories about Jackie Robinson. His favorite team was as a result of Jackie Robinson's breaking the color barrier. He was a Dodgers fan, so we talked about when I was a little bit of kid, Dodgers all the time. And at one point, my dad said, "You know, this is Reds country around here. We need to go see a game in Cincinnati." And I'd been to the old Parkway Field in Louisville before they even played at the fairgrounds to see the Colonels play, Louisville Colonels, a number of times as a little kid. But when I was 7 years old, my dad said, "We're going to Cincinnati and we're going to," and he said, "I'm tired of listening to this stuff about the Dodgers all the time." My dad was a Giants fan because of Willie Mays. My dad loved Willie Mays. So we got tickets to go see, a Reds game in Cincinnati at the old Crosley Field, and they're playing the Giants. And I had become a Reds fan by listening on the radio, as little kids do. And my favorite player was Frank Robinson. So we go see a Reds-Giants game at Crosley Field, and Frank Robinson hit a home run, and Willie Mays hit a home run, and I was hooked for life.
Stein's love for baseball didn't come from highlight reels or smartphone alerts. It started the old school way. Waiting for the latest issue of the sporting news to arrive, flipping through box scores, and memorizing stats. For fans like him, it was more than just a game. It was a passion. And eventually, that passion turned into an idea and a question. Why doesn't Lexington have a team of its own?
My first business when I got out of the University of Kentucky in the early 70s was a college bar and restaurant. And one afternoon, I was I'd started this business about 10 years in, about 1984. I was sitting at the bar talking to two of my good friends and customers one who was a judge and another who was an attorney in town. We were all baseball fans. We talked baseball all the time, every afternoon. And my sporting news had just come in. In those days, sporting news was where it was at. If you were a baseball fan, that was the only, you know, that was way before ESPN or any of the electronic stuff. And your Bible was sporting news. And there was an article in the sporting news about the expansion, potential expansion of Major League Baseball. They were looking at markets in Denver and in Phoenix and in Tampa and, you know, all the places that ended up getting expansion teams. But there was an adjacent article that said if Major League Baseball expands, that means that there'll be expansion in the minor league baseball. And so the three of us were talking about that. It's 1984. And we decided that Lexington, Kentucky ought to be a place where Major League Baseball would put a minor league team. And we just talked about it. But 2 weeks later, the sporting news came out, and with an expansion of the conversation, and they had asked all of the owners and general managers in Major League Baseball that if we do expand, what are some of the cities you'd be looking at for minor league baseball? And Lexington, Kentucky was number one on the list. And we decided, well, we got to figure out how to make this happen. Not as a business, not as an enterprise, or anything more than just being baseball fans. Why don't we have a professional baseball team in Lexington? And that's where the dream started.
Bringing professional baseball to the city may have seemed like a dream, but Stein was willing to make it a reality. After selling some of the radio stations he owned, he invested his own money into the project to make the dream come true.
After we sold radio stations, I said, the heck with it. I'm going to do it myself.
Stein had the dream. He built it, and people came. He said the team sold out many of its sponsorship opportunities before the first game was ever played, and they even had waiting lists of sponsors wanting to be part of professional baseball in Lexington. And when the gates finally opened on April 9th, 2001, the response was immediate. Nearly 8,000 fans packed the stadium for that first game. The message was clear. This wasn't just Stein's dream anymore. It belonged to the community.
The Lexington Legends began home baseball on a strong note here in town, winning it 15-1 over the Hagerstown Sun.
Now, more than two decades later, Stein still loves being a part of Lexington baseball. He also understands the importance of the connection between a team and its community.
There's no question that being a part of the community, being immersed in what is good for a community, is not just the right thing to do. It's good business. And we understand that although we own and operate this franchise and this facility, we're all just caretakers. This is a public trust, if you will. It may be privately owned and funded, but it's about the public and being engaged in making Lexington a better place. And we've always been mindful of that. And it's important for us to be successful. We have to provide what the community needs and wants. And it's not about what, we can't drive that. We have to be receptive to what those needs are. And it turns out to be good business, not just for us, but good business for the community. I'm not sure what the numbers are now, but, you know, we've drawn well over 10 million fans in our history here. The economic value of having this franchise in Lexington in terms of payroll taxes and property taxes and sales taxes and all of the jobs that we've had here, you know, there are some summers when we might have 200 or 300 people on a payroll here, and now we do things year round. So it's not just a place of entertainment, it is also an economic engine.
That same sense of momentum hasn't stopped with baseball. Just a few miles away, professional soccer is building a following of its own. Lexington Sporting Club is one of the newest additions to Kentucky's professional sports scene, but its impact is already hard to miss. The United Soccer League club was formed in 2021 and began play in March 2023, quickly establishing itself as a growing presence in the region. Later that year, the team broke ground on a new stadium that reflects its long-term vision for the sport in Central Kentucky. The club features both men's and women's professional teams, which together are scheduled to host 22 home matches in 2026. Beyond the professional level, Lexington Sporting Club is also investing in the future of the game, offering youth development programs and dedicated fields at its facility. The main stadium seats 7,500 fans, with the ability to expand to 11,000, positioning the club for continued growth and strong community support. The facility was an $80 million investment that sits immediately off an exit on Interstate 75. Lexington Mayor Linda Gordon called the organization an economic engine for the area and said it is the anchor for new construction of restaurants, shops, and hotels. Head north on Interstate 75 and our story takes another turn. In Florence, professional baseball comes with a sense of humor and a name you won't forget, the Florence Yalls. It's a name that turns heads, starts conversations, and perfectly captures the personality of the community it represents. The Yalls play in the Frontier League. The team began as the Erie Sailors in Erie, Pennsylvania, before moving to Kentucky in 2004. The name was later changed to the Florence Freedom. In 2019, inspired by a local landmark, they became the Florence Yalls. In addition to being a proud community partner with the Yalls, Florence Mayor Dr. Julie Metzer-Aubuchon is a big fan of the team and also a longtime season ticket holder.
We happen to have not only a great professional baseball team here, but we have the coolest name in all of minor league baseball, the Florence Yalls, and they have done a great job with marketing that team and using the Y'all name and really getting attention nationally for that.
She tells the story of how the team's current name, Yalls, came into existence around 50 years ago, long before there was ever a local baseball team.
So back in the 70s, we had a water tower by our construction project of the Florence Mall, which was not completed at the time. And there was an issue with having advertisement on a water tower for a mall that did not exist. The water tower read Florence Mall, so the mayor at the time decided that, well, maybe we just paint over the sides of the M, make that M into a Y, and Florence Yall became born. And the Y looks like a Y now, but I do remember as a kid that M, you could really tell they kind of abbreviated it. It did have a little bit of a different shape to it when they first changed it over. And people thought of that as being the gateway to the South. They're coming from Cincinnati right across the river. They get about 10 miles down, and here they see this big water tower with the Florence Yall, and there's no mistake. You are now in Southern country, and it's welcoming, and it's really iconic, and we just love it. We were the Florence Freedom now, see, back okay. In the day. We were not the Florence Yalls. We were the Florence Freedom, and we had Liberty the Eagle was the mascot, and it was a time, if you can remember, you know, September 11th was fresh on everyone's minds, and there was a naming contest, and people were rather patriotic at the time, and Florence Freedom had a good ring, you know, so Florence Freedom was the name of the team. I think that was on people's minds. To be very patriotic, red, white, and blue color scheme was the color scheme for our original team. And we transitioned with new owners. They, again, did a name the team contest. I know we had some pretty terrible names that were being suggested and thrown out. But I was a little reluctant to embrace the Florence Yalls name, being a season ticket holder for multiple years and a actual sponsor of the team with my business, the Florence Freedom, for multiple years. Having that switch over to the Florence Yalls, yeah, like, oh, wait a minute, let's think about this. Well, now, a few years, you don't even look back. You're like, this really makes sense. They've done a great job with the marketing. They've taken it to a whole new level. We've gotten national recognition. And you're like, yeah, this really fits this. This really is a great name.
Rory Tetimer is the Y'all's media relations manager. He said when people hear the team's name, they're always intrigued. Having such an interesting name is a big reason why the team has become so popular, even well beyond the borders of Florence and Northern Kentucky. It has even garnered some attention on an international level.
It's always so interesting. I'm from Massachusetts, so y'all is just a Southern slang word to us. So then I come down here, and people in Florence, they've seen the water tower. People in Tennessee, you know, they've drove up and have seen the water tower, but they don't know that the team's named after the water tower. So to me, it's something that, hey, if you know, you know. But if not, it's always a great story to tell. The Florence Mall on the water tower, got to transition it to the Y'all. And it's been a big reason of why we've popped off so much. People love the name. And once they realize it's from a water tower, our mascot's a moving water tower, it's certainly has helped us grow in that capacity. World Baseball Classic, the last time it played 23 or 24, there was a person in a Y'all shirt on national TV wearing Florence Y'alls. So it's all over. It's all over. I know in New York, one of my friends was like, hey, Rory, I just saw a Florence Y'alls t-shirt going across the street.
The name might get people in the door, but it's the experience that keeps them coming back. From packed summer nights at the ballpark to all sorts of events throughout the year, the city of Florence and the Y'alls have built something bigger than a team. They've built a brand and a community gathering place.
So the Florence Y'alls and the city of Florence have a longstanding partnership. It goes back to when we first became interested in bringing minor league to our city. I was actually on that initial trip. We went down to Lexington, to the Lexington Legends, and got to see what they were doing there. And we knew that it had to be a team that was supported by the city. It would bring in tourism. It would be a sense of place. It would be a sense of pride for our community. So there really does have to be that partnership with their organization, which is an independent organization. And they have done a great job creating Florence as a family-friendly destination for ball games. And we have try to piggyback on those efforts to make sure that we send the message that Florence is the kind of community that people want to be a part of. So we do hold events up there. We have our Easter egg hunt, which is our second biggest event, coming up this spring. And it starts at 11 o'clock. And I said, if you're 11:01, you've missed all the eggs. You're too late. So don't be late, because the mad dash for the eggs on the field is quite something to see. And the kids just love it. And the parents love bringing their kids up there. And we have a lot of community vendors that get involved as well that are partners with the Florence Y'all as well as with us. And it's a great event. And then we partner further with the Y'alls for our biggest event of the year. It is our Halloween event, Y'alloween Fest at the ballpark, and we'll have about probably 3,000 people there. All the little ghosts and goblins running around, princesses and pirates and all the costumes. It's a great opportunity for us to really utilize a very large space with lots of parking. That venue has lots of public parking there that will hold the capacity of the crowd. So it's a draw, and we just partner with them on these events to, they're city events, but we host them there. It really is a great attraction for a lot of people to say, hey, this is a living, breathing place here that is interested in serving the community. We're more than just baseball, and I think it's a great family atmosphere.
The connection between the team and the community goes far beyond the game itself. The ballpark becomes a community hub, hosting events, youth programs, and giving kids the chance to step onto the same field as the pros. It's where future fans, and maybe even some future players, can fall in love with the game of baseball. The Y'alls provide a youth instructional program known as Little Y'allers, with two age divisions from children ranging in ages from 3 to 7. The program includes Saturday morning practices, followed by games later that morning. Tetimer said the program exists to help children develop a love and passion for baseball from an early age, while also building relationships with positive role models. When the children and the professionals aren't using the field, It's also home to nearby Thomas More University's baseball team, and the venue now bears the name Thomas More Stadium.
Well, not only do they have Thomas More up there, but they also have the Little Y'alls baseball for, I think they start at 3 and 4 years old. So they will have all kinds of little guys out there with their parents. And these are people coming from all over Northern Kentucky. And they're learning. Sometimes they have some of the coaching staff from the baseball team involved in that. And it's really a great way to instill that love of the game from very little on. And then they transition that to, they have a whole division up there within the Y'alls organization that brings youth tournaments. And I can say that my son has played in their youth tournaments. And there is nothing better than the look on a kid's face when they get to play on the same field that the big guys get to play on and the professionals get to play on. And so just having sports in our community is huge. And we just cannot stress that sports keep youth involved. They help them make friendships. They develop teamwork. They understand responsibility and dedication. You don't quit on your teammates. You don't quit in the middle of a season. You see it through. You work together.
Working together is what it's all about for the city of Florence and the Y'alls. The city owns the stadium, but each has its own role to play in the partnership.
The stadium is city-owned, and we do have a long-term lease with the team, and we do have scheduled maintenance and different things throughout the years, you know, on a schedule where the team is responsible for certain things and we're responsible for certain things. So Okay. It is definitely a partnership. You know, providing facilities for the ball team, I think, is important so that we have a first-class facility. We want families to come there, and we want them to be there for Princess Night. We want them to be there for Star Wars Night. We want them to celebrate and come, and then we want them to eat in our restaurants. And we want maybe out-of-town visitors to come and watch their team and stay in our hotels. So, you know, having that partnership with them is always a good thing. And I think that getting local businesses to support the team by having employee outings. We have an employee outing for our employees, and it's super well attended, and people love it. And so any kind of group sales that they do, I think, benefits us from a city standpoint.
Like Mayor Metzger Aubuchon, Tedemer also values the relationship between the team and the city.
To have such a good connection with your city, I've been in minor league baseball for a while, and not every team I've been with has had such a good connection that Florence has with theirs. They do a lot of good funding for us. You know, they've helped us with our stadium construction this year. You know, we're putting in a sports bar. They've kind of handled the construction on that, so that's going to be ready for the season. You know, new fencing going on. So they do a lot of, you know, individual projects. This whole facility that we're in right now, you know, the city helped and planned on how that was going to go. So it really is, you know, a good collaboration. You know, once we need something, the city, you know, is usually compatible on giving us that. So everything that's, you see that, hey, that's a brand new facility, clubhouse, front offices, team store, the city's had a good hand in that. The sports bar this year is going to be great. It's going to be a good addition right behind home plate. And then the fencing, you know, we're getting, you know, padding on the fences, so it's not going to be as hard to run into it as plywood.
Florence's community spirit will be on full display this summer when the Y'alls host the 33rd annual Frontier League All-Star Game, being branded, of course, as the Y'all-Star Game. It's more than a showcase of talent. It's a moment that puts the city on the map, drawing players and fans from across the eastern part of the United States and giving Florence a chance to shine on a much bigger stage.
We hosted the Frontier League All-Star Game back in 2017, I think it was, and you know, we're going to take it to the next level this year when it's commemorating our country's 250th anniversary.
We love our partnership with them. They're doing a very big favor with us, you know, working with the All-Star Game. It's going to be the event of the summer in Northern Kentucky. We're excited for more than just Florence to be a part of it. But, you know, Florence certainly has had a very big impact on the All-Star Game in 26.
These professional sports teams from Lexington, Florence, and those in other cities across the Commonwealth are proof that you don't need to be in a massive market to make a major impact. Because in Kentucky, Professional sports aren't just about what happens on the field. They're about what happens around it. It's cities and teams working side by side, stepping up to the plate together to drive economic growth, build stronger communities, and create something everyone can rally around. And when that happens, everybody wins.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.